different resources, making sure people have water that they need.
That's Sarah Danahy of O2 Planning and Design. Her firm worked with Edmonton to create the Neighboring for Climate Toolkit. It's a deck of cards that anyone can download for free. Each card describes an action that neighbors can work on together to reduce global warming or prepare for its impacts, like planting trees or making an emergency plan. So the deck can be used as a conversation starter to help neighbors identify common concerns and interests.
The toolkit is really meant to inspire and spark that first action between neighbors to do things together.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
You are now listening to CJSS 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
Hello and welcome. I'm Reverend Billy here in the Church of Stop Shopping. And our radio show, the next 30 minutes, is called Earth Riot. Yes, we're Earth Defenders. We do that by singing, oftentimes by singing in the lobbies, in the parking lots, on the rooftops of corporations that put toxicity into the air. We defend the Earth that way. And we didn't invent that idea. Singing while trespassing goes back to labor, civil rights, peace, women, ACT UP. It is something that is a cornerstone to most of the social movements that have been successful in our country. One of the things that we want to defend now is the natural world, or as we call it, the actual world. Whales, our defense of whales, that has been a cornerstone of the environmental movement. And now we have Paul Watson, the best known defender of whales, sharks, sea turtles, the beings that live in the ocean. Paul and his ship Sea Shepherd have insinuated themselves between the living being in the ocean and the whaler, the murderous factory ship, whatever is coming to convert that life into monetary gain. Paul is now in jail, and we want to help raise the alarm that this very important teacher has been detained by corporations who just want to make money. They want him out of the way. His trumped up legal thing, well, he would be in jail the rest of his life. Let's protect Paul Watson and other people like him who are defending the Earth. You're going to be a lot of singing over the next 30 minutes by the Stop Shopping Choir and by lots of Earth creatures, lots of our brothers and sisters in the oceans. Somebody give me an Earth-alleluia.
Aboard his own ship, anti-whaling activist Paul Watson then taken away by Danish police from this Greenland port. The arrest of the Sea Shepherd founder on Sunday has sparked outrage among his supporters. Here in France, a petition demanding Watson's immediate release has already garnered well over 300,000 signatures, including a number of French celebrities, among them the iconic comedian Pierre Richard.
Defenders of the environment are heroes, not criminals. Paul is 73 years old. He risks 15 years in prison, which means he could die there and never see his wife and children again.
Since 2012, Watson has been living under threat of an Interpol Red Notice, a warrant for his arrest requested by Japan. Tokyo is livid over Watson's spectacular operations in the Antarctic Ocean against Japanese whaling vessels, daring interventions testing the limits of maritime law that have become the calling card of the activist and his NGO.
Paul Watson took action to protect an international sanctuary and prevent an illegal whale hunt. Remember, Japan has been condemned by the International Court of Justice for illegal whaling.
The French government says it is in contact with Danish authorities and is following the matter closely. Denmark is expected to decide whether or not to extradite Watson to Japan by mid-August.
We call this the planet Earth. It isn't. It's the planet Ocean. You know, it's water in continuous circulation. Sometimes it's in the sea, sometimes it's in ice, sometimes it's underground, sometimes it's in the clouds, and sometimes it's in the cells of every plant and every animal on this planet. The water in your body right now was once, very recently, locked underground. It was sometimes in ice, and it was sometimes in the bodies of other animals and plants. In fact, since water's been around so long, the glass of water you drink today was once probably pissed by a dinosaur. It's the same water. So it's constantly this water that is moving continuously. That is the ocean. And what that means is we are the ocean. Each and every one of us are part of that. And that's an idea that I've been trying to get across for some time, and also to advance a concept of that indigenous people are fully well aware of biocentrism, the understanding that we're connected to everything else, and that it's not all about us. You know, it's about all of us sharing this planet together.
Greatness to behold. He was the last surviving progeny, the last one on this side of the world. He measured a half mile from tip to tail, silver and black, with powerful fins. They say he could split a mountain in two. That's how he got the Grand Canyon. Last great American whale. Last great American whale. Last great American whale. Last great American whale. Some local yokel member of the NRA kept a bazooka in his living room, and thinking he had the chief in his sights, blew the whale's brains out with a lead harpoon. Last great American whale. Last great American whale. Last great American whale. Last great American whale. Well, Americans don't care for much of anything. Land and water the least. And animal life is low on the totem pole. with human life not worth more than infected yeast. Americans don't care too much for beauty. They'll shit in a river, dump battery acid in a stream. They'll watch dead rats wash up on the beach. Complain if they can't swim. They say things are done for the majority. Don't believe half of what you see, none of what you hear. It's like what my painter friend Donald said to me. Stick a fork in their ass and turn them over, they're done.
Welcome to the Earth Church. Today's message, for the love of faraway life. Captain Paul Watson was detained by Danish authorities yesterday at the behest of the Japanese whaling industry. Watson is our most public defender of that parallel intelligence of the sea, the great whale. He has repeatedly maneuvered his ships, the Sea Shepherd and the Northern Horizon, between the harpoon and the prey. What Paul Watson has done is a basic inspiration for those of us who want to defend the Earth. Corporate extraction from air, water, and soil is mostly hidden from us, kept in the misty distance. Whether human slavery, gold, pasture land, water for Coca-Cola, the crimes are distorted into quarterly reports, two-minute news items, romantic movies. But Captain Paul's whale dramas have a starkness, a vividness. Over the years, he has consistently sailed right through the colonial hall of mirrors. The farawayness of neoliberal capitalism doesn't hold up. So all of us should pay special attention to this case, because Watson's ramming of factory ships sets up the level of resistance that we will be required for climate change. We have to learn how to have his intensity, his bravery. There's a telescopic perspective that the climate crisis makes necessary for us. We learn to take the storm and the flood personally. Lahaina, Maui explodes in our front yard. Derna, Libya floods away in the street where we live. But we have not made this perspective shift, not yet, not most of us, in the carbon-spewing north. Major population groups refuse to believe what is happening. Nativists, fascists, cultists, they build walls around themselves. Investors do too. They disconnect from the land, the sea, the plants, the animals. They have to fetishize their fossil profits. Militarists must have their wars. They narrow their sights down the trajectory of the bullet. Apocalyptic Christians insist on their designer hell. We are living in the time that the scientists warned us would happen. Every month, every measurement of heat and wind is terrifying to us, but we're pretending not to notice. Climate change is only an, quote, issue among many other issues. This won't be easy. We have to see around and see through everything. Everything around us is there as a product, staring at us, stopping our sight. We need to see far away, but we've fallen into better living through products. Products are not neutral. Shopping is not harmless. They are extraction, they are toxic waste, yes. Also, they stop us from seeing and thinking and believing in political action. Products fixate us with the Breaking Bad America, relentless sentimental patriotism, saturation advertising, the deadly human product called celebrity. And we're left without the faraway sightings that we need. So we can't develop that society-wide radicalism that busts us out of these sugary horizons. We're stuck here in the ultimate product, virtual reality, VR. There is one thing we can do. One thing left for us. We have love. The gritty, laughing, screaming emotion is still ours. Though they try to turn it into shopping, oh, they want to, with all the perfumes and cars and dating apps, but we still have it. We still have the love right here. The seed of Earth in us. Love is stronger than all those products. We got love. Emma Goldman said, love is the defier of laws. Love is the molder of human destiny. With love, we can do anything because we are participating with the Earth in her creation. Love gives us the supernatural perspective. We can see. We can see. We have genetic creation. We have love. We make life. We defend life. We're powerful. We see far. We have the perspective. Yes, we had stopped slavery. We did stop nuclear war. We had it in us to organize unions. And we found the cure for AIDS. We can be radical Americans again. Taking back and protecting Paul Watson is a first step. We have our justice because we have our love. We care. We're not going to let them do this. We're loving the whales that we can barely see in the distance. But our love puts us with them. And we admire them. Huge. Singing. Singing. Seeing us clearly as they sing. Seeing us with their eyes.
Hello, welcome to News from the Natural World. I'm Savitri D. Scientists currently recognize 90 species of whales, dolphins, and porpoises, collectively known as cetaceans. Cetaceans are broadly divided into two groups, depending on whether they have teeth or baleen. Baleen whales are sometimes called the great whales due to their overall larger size. There are 15 species of baleen whales. These whales have baleen plates in their mouths to sift their food, plankton, krill, and small fish from seawater. Toothed whales account for most species of cetaceans and include everything from the massive sperm whale to beaked whales and all dolphins and porpoises. Cetaceans are voluntary breathers, which means they need to think about every breath they take. In order to survive a night underwater, whales sleep with half their brain only. They keep one eye open to stay slightly alert while being half asleep. They have the incredible ability to shut down one of their brain halves and use the other to remember to breathe at the surface. Meanwhile, the eye connected to the awake hemisphere stays open to check for any obstacles, predators, or other problems. Bottlenose dolphins and belugas can spend more than 30% of their day sleeping, while sperm whales only sleep for 7% of the day. Gray whales sleep 41% of the time. Newborn whales and dolphins need a lot of sleep and motherly care. During their first month, cetacean calves don't leave their mother's side. They eat, sleep, and swim in the mother's slipstream. In fact, if the mother would stop moving, the calf would sink. Whales can keep afloat because of their fat, but the young calf's baby fat is not enough to keep them buoyant. For mother, this means nonstop swimming and alertness during the first weeks. Meanwhile, the newborn can enjoy long sleep and rest both brain halves simultaneously. Bowhead whales can live over 200 years. They get their name due to their large bow-shaped head, which comprises about a third of their total body length. Their deceptively large, thick skulls allows them to break through the heavy sea ice, while 17 to 19 inches thick blubber allows them to survive freezing Arctic temperatures. Bowhead whales are highly vocal. A research team in Greenland studying 144 days of diving records of 12 bowhead whales has made the surprising discovery of two bowhead whales diving in synchrony over the course of a week, even when they were around 100 kilometers apart. The pair, one female and one of unknown sex, were sometimes as close as 5 kilometers and sometimes hundreds of kilometers apart. Yet they would closely time their diving bouts for durations of up to a week, although to different depths. A sperm whale expert in Canada has found evidence showing that sperm whales form large matrilineal clans that have their own dialect. Researchers found evidence that sperm whales form matrilineally based units of approximately 10 females and their offspring. Such units form the basic elements of larger clans. They also found evidence that the whales form clans with as many as 20,000 members. Within such clans, members interact, look out for one another, help raise offspring, and ward off attacks by orcas. Researchers have also found evidence of clan-wide communication, noting the observation of debates that involved whales apparently looking for a consensus on things like routes and destinations. And now, the sounds of extinction. This is the story Captain Paul Watson tells of an encounter with a sperm whale that directed his life, as he and fellow Greenpeace activists attempted to prevent a Soviet whaling fleet from killing a sperm whale pod off the coast of Oregon. The two dying whales struggled to hold on to life between the harpoon boat and the six of us in three boats, sitting motionless on the swells. I could not take my eyes off the dying whale closest to us. His tail flayed the sea, and pink foam frothed all around him. Then suddenly the whale was looking directly at me. I saw his huge eye, and I could see that he saw me. At that moment, he dove once again, and I saw pink, bloody bubbles coming to the surface, moving closer to our boat. Within seconds, the whale's head shot above the surface of the sea and began to tower above, rising higher, but as if in slow motion, and angled so that we could see his intent was to come crashing down upon us. And as his head rose ever higher, I saw that eye once again, so close that I could see my own reflection in that deep, dark orb. Suddenly, I was struck with the realization that this whale understood what we were doing. His lower jaw hung down, almost touching the side of our boat, so close I could have reached across and encircled one of the 6-inch teeth with my fingers. His muscles tensed and he stopped rising and began to slowly slide at an angle back into the sea. I kept eye contact with him until his eye sank beneath the surface of the sea and disappeared. And so he died. He could have killed us, but he had not. And the look in that eye has haunted me ever since. I felt understanding, and I knew he knew that we were there to save him, not to kill him. We sat there in our little inflatable boats in the midst of the Soviet whaling fleet, with the bodies of a half dozen sperm whales lying lifeless in the swell. I watched the sun begin to set in the west. And I remembered that the Russians were killing whales primarily for the valuable spermaceti oil. Spermaceti oil is valued for its high resistance to heat, and thus it is used in machinery where there is excessive heat. One of the demands for this oil by the Soviets was for use in the production of intercontinental ballistic missiles. Here they were slaughtering these magnificent, intelligent, socially complex, wondrous sentient beings for the purpose of making a weapon designed for the mass extermination of humans. And I thought to myself, are we really this insane? It is that thought, that unanswered question that has haunted me every day since. It is from what I saw in the eye of that whale that has led me to devote my entire adult life to the defense of the whales and the other creatures of the sea. Because I know that if we cannot save the whales, the turtles, the sharks, the tuna, and the complex marine biodiversity, that the oceans will not survive. If the life in our oceans is diminished, humanity is diminished. And if the oceans die, humanity will die. For we cannot survive on this planet with a dead ocean. The words of Captain Paul Watson. Thank you.
looking at. Is that a nuclear submarine? No. It's a bowhead whale. They live to be 100 years old, singing underneath the ice. That's a New York City police person. Jumping out of a car. He's watching a movie starring himself. A bad dream. He pulls the trigger. He pulls the trigger. Shoots the bullet. Kills the whale. Thank you for spending this time with us here in the Earth Riot. The whales, we got to thank the whales. Singing with me right now in a duet. Lou Reed, thank you for The Last Great American Whale. Fiery Eagles of Justice, thank you for your whale song, which is, takes place in this, tragically, right over here. I can almost see it from my window. Brendan Burke on drums, Jason Candler on whatever sound you want to make, saxophone, special effects. Jason is the editor of this 30 Minutes. Thank you, Jason. And Savitri D. Savitri, the news from the natural world, the fascinating findings of this Earth in 2025, 2024. Savitri is the designer of our performances at the Earth Church, 5 p.m., Avenue C, at East 3rd Street in the East Village. And Savitri has created a record, a wonderful studio-produced record. Most of the songs are her compositions. I'm Filled with the Fabulous Unknown is one of the hits. Well, we developed these songs over a two-year period at our shows at the Earth Church on Sundays, and then also as a part of the Neil Young tour this last spring. And so, this is Reverend Billy saying, I wish you safety, I wish you wildness, I wish you your own. Everybody now, Earth, loose!